from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About football, and we want to be as 50-50 as possible. So we're going to use David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. We're going to run the ball behind this offensive line. Detroit's a very, very physical team. And what got them that 24-7 lead was they were averaging 7 yards a carry against the 49ers the football. So I'm Ross A. Brown. We'll get the targets in the pass game, but at some point, J-Bo Williams is going to want targets. You still have Sam LaPorta there. So I look, man, I feel like this is the best situation for B.A., for the 49ers. This is the best receiver you drafted in many, many years outside of Deebo Samuel. Let's make this work. We don't want to lose B.A. And then moving forward, who's going to be Brock Purdy's number one target? Like, I envision a wide receiver room with Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk moving forward and alongside Juwan Jennings. Like, what? Let's make this work. This guy's a good player. This is a good team. Is it Parag Marate who's got his fingerprints all over this? Like, Kawakami said it, and now it's got me thinking, damn, is Parag Marate driving the line here? Is he drawing the line saying, no, this is what it is? I don't like that. I don't like it, Shasky.
And this is why I keep coming back to Kyle Shanahan, because when there was stalemates in previous negotiations, Bosa and the Trent Williams situation, Kyle Shanahan interjected. And Kyle Shanahan went to the front office from reports and said, get this done. So I wonder, like, is he a get this done? Because I think that that's telling too, yeah. B. Like, if Kyle Shanahan thinks that they can, like, if he thinks the juice isn't worth the squeeze, right. That's interesting to me. Now we have a different conversation, yeah. Well, right? Because if Kyle Shanahan, the architect of this offense, thinks that he can move on right now from Brandon Ayuk, wow, that's telling.
Yeah, that's a lot of confidence in
a lot of things.
And Brock Purdy
himself.
It's a lot of confidence in himself and his play calling. It's a lot of confidence in Ricky Pearsall.
Yes.
It's a lot of confidence in Juwan Jennings and Chris Conley and maybe Jacob Cowan.
So
maybe,
like,
Trent Taylor. So you are listening to 95.7 Game. We get the legal in. KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The fact that Shanahan appears to be annoyed because Ayuk is on the field but he's not practicing. Again, we broke this down. He basically said, yeah, Bosa shouldn't get on the field. I understand the situation. Well, what don't you understand about the Brandon Ayuk situation? It's like, they're not the same player. We're not comparing Bosa and Ayuk. We're not comparing Ayuk to Deebo Samuel, but the situations are similar. So now you draw the line on Brandon Ayuk. Oh, he ain't practicing with us. Forget this guy. Oh, Bosa was in Florida.
Well, I don't think it's the specifics of he's not practicing with us. I think it's just the totality of everything that's going on behind the scenes, the timeline. Like, I think it's everything. And I think he's probably feeling like, yeah, we kind of mishandled this.
Yeah.
He won't come out and say it. No one's going to come out and say, yeah, we've been botching this. You don't do that in the middle of it.
this is what I wonder with this situation now that's happened. Maybe we did this yesterday a little bit, but I'm curious, the 49er fans, as we get ready for camp and this situation is overshadowed, who's playing well at camp? Fred Warner's had a good camp. Juwan Jennings had a good George Odom's had a good camp. Deebo Samuel's had a good camp. But how many 49er fans don't want to salvage this relationship? How many 49er fans are just out on Brandon Ayuk all the way?
So I had three softball games last night, and a variety. And I played first base in the last one, and a variety of people would get to first base and they'd say, "What the hell is going on with Brandon Ayuk? I don't know. Well, why can't he just come in and play? I don't know. Was he going to stay or is he going to go? I don't know. Well, I'm over him then." I'm just like, wow. Like a lot of
I'm
people,
over him.
Yeah, they're over him. But I think most people. I'm over him. But if he wants to come and play for us, I'll take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, that's the fan setting, you know? Yeah, like, I'm over him. But if he stays with us, then I'll be rooting for him week one.
So how many fans feel like that? 888-957-9570. Are you over Brandon Ayuk? Do you just want to move on from him to resolve this situation? Or do you want to do everything in your power to try to bring this guy back and keep him as a member of the 49ers? Because he does help give this offense the best chance to thrive. It's a lot of pressure to put out everybody else. When we talk about the route running and the one-on-ones and everything like that. What's going on here? How are you feeling, 49er fans, as we get ready for week one of the preseason game? And by the way, I would not play Brock Purdy at all in preseason if Big Trent Williams is not in camp. If Trent Williams is not there, and Trent doesn't play preseason anyway, I'm not playing Brock Purdy these days. I know it sounds crazy.
Last year when he was coming off the elbow injury, it made sense to play him. They played him for that one drive. Remember they went down the field and scored right away when the field was super dry and sandy, and it was the third game.
I don't even remember the preseason.
Yeah, I do. They did like a Deebo, a couple of sweet Deebo plays, and everybody looked good.
Because I know Buffalo's playing Josh Allen this week in the quarter. Caleb Williams is playing for the Bears. Andy Reid's playing his guys for the first quarter. He believes in playing
Andy
the preseason.
Andy Reid always does.
He always does. He believes in that stuff.
But here's the question that I'm curious if you have an answer on. What if I told you Kyle Shanahan would tell me and you, you know, who's the number one option? And he says this. Well, in my offense, the open man.
Yeah, he would say that. I believe that's what he thinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like a faceless avatar.
On this play, when they run this defense, exactly. This guy's going
to
be open.
If this guy runs the route the way he's supposed to and we block it up and the quarterback times it out, the faceless X, you know, avatar is the guy who's the number one.
That's why I don't get caught up in, well, this guy's the number four option. Deebo, if Brandon Ayuk's the number one, if, say, hypothetically, Brandon Ayuk is the number four option, because I'm with you. I don't think Shanahan thinks like that. I think Shanahan just thinks my play is going to work. This guy's going to be open. But if he is the fourth option, he led the team in receptions and receiving yards. Is it the first time in NFL history a quote-unquote number four option led the team in receiving yards and catches? That's insane to me. So, and I think about some of the big plays, some like the Washington Commanders game. Brock Purdy's rolling around. He throws it across the field. Who's he hit? Brandon Ayuk. The Seattle game, Thanksgiving, where an all of us made Kyle Shanahan throw his headset. Oh, I didn't want you to throw it there. That's not the read. Who'd he throw it to? Brandon Ayuk. When it was time to break open a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, deep down the field, who'd he throw it to? Brandon Ayuk. Third down in an NFC Championship, key third down in the red zone. We got to score, man. We got to get a touchdown now. We're going to lose this game. We're going to lose out on the chance to go to Las Vegas. Who'd he find? Brandon Ayuk.
But this is also the same family that when everyone valued running backs at a certain value, they said, no, they're replaceable. So could Kyle be starting a trend in his own mind? Again, I'm not ripping him. I'm like elevating him here, where it's like everyone in the league is overvaluing wide receivers, and we actually think they're more replaceable than you think they are. That they're not important. We just drafted one in the first round. But that I can get comparable production out of a variety of guys where everyone else is investing $30 to $60 million in 1 to 2 players at the wide receiver position. I actually am viewing it the way we viewed running backs 10 years ago, which is, no, they're more replaceable than you think, and I can get comparable production. I'm just asking out loud.
Well, it's funny because the Chicago game, and we're going to break here, but the Chicago game, when they lost it with Trey Lance and Elijah Mitchell got hurt, and remember I came back out, I was like, I think we need a running back. I think we need a home run hitting running back. The hell with platooning running backs, the Jeff Wilson Jr.'s, the Tevin Coleman's, the Elijah Mitchell's, all these guys. And you finally got a home run hitting quarterback. And look, You've averaged 30 points a game since you got that home run hitting quarterback, running back. So don't undervalue. Don't try to say, hey, everybody's replaceable, because obviously they're not. You need home run hitters at these positions. All right, more coming up here on the roast. Dave Fleming coming up on the other side. We'll talk some Giants here, some Giants. They get a big win last night in the nation's capital. Then we'll jump right back into Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers. Herm Edwards, 8 o'clock. But right now, let's talk to our man, Flem, on the other side. And that will be brought to you by Express Employment Professionals.
Against the Giants.
The Giants want to be able to win the series with a win tomorrow, but they got to win this one tonight to have that opportunity. And they're not making it easy here in the bottom of the ninth. Bases loaded, one out. Alex Call, the hitter. And he grounds one to short. Fitzgerald to second. That's one. Throw to first. Got a double play.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Dave Fleming on a call for NBC Sports Bay Area. Camilo Duval making us all sweat there in the ninth inning. What a meeting on the mound. A meeting on the mound. And then in one pitch, boom, double play. Giants win. They're back to 500 at 58-58. By the way, join 95.7 The Game at Hardy Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ACCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. Look, man, Dave Fleming's going to join us in a second here. Him and Javi do a great job in that booth. I'm really loving it. Blake Snell gets his second straight win. Blake Snell, look, that changeup was rolling yesterday. 8 strikeouts, 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 earned runs. Gave up the little runs there in the bottom of the third inning, but he was able to rectify it and get everything straight. Tyler Rogers with a great eighth inning. Ryan Walker getting out of a big jam there, but Camilo Duval making us all sweat there in the bottom of the ninth inning. But the Giants do get the win. However, it's unfortunate what's going on with them right now. When you look at the wild card race, and yeah, we're still talking playoffs with the San Francisco Giants, right? You could say that they're 3.5 behind the Braves and the Padres, but I look at the loss column, Shasky, and they're 5 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the loss column. They're 6 games behind the Diamondbacks and the Padres in the loss column. Now, the Diamondbacks and Padres are 8-2 in their last 10 games. They've both won 4 straight games.
Arizona might have the best offense in the last 3 weeks in baseball.
They've been on fire. But the Giants' offense is starting to come around. You know, Yastrzemski's playing well. Conforto's on fire. Matt Chapman's on fire.
But Ramos.
Helier Ramos, I think he's going to win your 2024 Willie Mack Award. He's been that good, and he's bounced back from his injury, and he's hitting the ball hard. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've yet to make up ground. That's why I'm looking at the schedule, Shasky, and what we know about September and the teams you got to play in September. But you got a big 4-game series coming up against the Braves next week. All right, you play Detroit this weekend after playing the Nationals today. Can you win the series? Big time start for Kyle Harrison today. Huge start for Kyle Harrison. But then you get the Braves after the Tigers. And if you can win that series, maybe you can catch the Braves a little bit here, because you got to make up games in the loss column. I don't care about how many games back you are these teams. To me, it's the loss column. You're 5 back of the Braves in the loss column. You're 6 back of the Diamondbacks and the Padres in the loss column. You just got to continue to win some games here.
I mean, if I'm the Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks, I'm actually looking at the Dodgers, and I'm saying to myself, are we sure we can't win the NL West? Because the Dodgers are reeling too, you know, right now. They're not the same team. They're waiting for Mookie Betts to come back. So, like, we're in a very difficult division.
They're 3 back of the Dodgers right now. That's crazy.
They only have 66 wins.
That is crazy.
I know they've been, but they haven't been good for a while.
What a sweep the Diamondbacks had yesterday at the Guardians. That was big time.
Do you know who's having a monster year?
Gurriel Jr.?
No, Jack Peterson.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't want to say it.
Well, and Marte's having a monster year.
Don't say it, Spadoni. Don't tick me off, Spadoni.
No, I was going to say Josh Bell as well. That was a great acquisition.
I can't believe, you know, I always liked Josh Bell.
I did, but he's always left something on the table. And it's like, wow, why isn't this guy better? But he gets down to Arizona, and I'm looking up, Josh Bell's in the stat sheet every game. Every game. Chuck Peterson, what is he doing? 18 home runs, 51 RBIs, batting .284. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Paul Skeens is going to probably get most of the headlines for Rookie of the Year. This Jackson Merrill, San Diego center fielder,
he's
batted around .300 all year. He's got like 17 jacks, 21 years old, manning center field on that team. Just you see the amount of talent that the Padres traded away to go get Soto, because that's the entire Nationals team is like all Padre former prospects, and they're very good. They're young, very like promising team, and the guy they kept, Jackson Merrill in center field, is just having a monster year.
The Dodgers, they're gonna start feeling the heat here.
You didn't. I've been following this. This NL West is cooked.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
cooking.
I stayed away because I've been so focused on the wild card. But they did lose 2 or 3 to the Phillies. Kershaw's not the same guy. We know that. They're waiting on Walker Buehler. And Walker Buehler wasn't the same guy when he came back. There's a monster series coming up for the Dodgers against the Pirates. They need Mookie in the worst way. I think the Dodgers will be fine. But you got to remember, the Diamondbacks, they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs last year.
And
I believe the year before, the Padres beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. So they're not afraid of the big, bad, blue L.A. Dodgers right now.
No, they're not. And I look at the ball that both those teams have been playing the last couple of weeks. And
Arizona's been great.
They've been on fire. God. I mean, they've been on fire. And so, like, Corbin Carroll has done really nothing all year. I mean, you
look
at his numbers.
He had a big doubleheader yesterday.
What?
He had a monster doubleheader, though.
No, but I'm just saying,
he's batting 215.
Yeah, he's not been good. I don't even know if he has 10 home runs right now. Like, he's just not been the same player. You get the big contract. He had a great year last year, but he has not been the same player. Perdomo, their shortstop, has had moments, but really, like, you know, it's Marte, it's Jock. I mean, that team.
Gurriel Jr.'s had a good
Christian
year.
Walker, who should have been an all-star.
No, they got some players.
They do. And their pitching staff was hurt for a long time.
Yep. No, they're coming around. They're coming around here. This race is getting a lot of fun. And the Braves. The Braves have lost 4 straight.
I think they're vulnerable.
They are very vulnerable. So that's what I'm looking at here as a Giants. Again, they're 3.5 back in the standings, but they're 5 back in the lost combo to the Braves. And they got a big series at the Braves next week, but they have to take care of business today and try to win a series in Washington, D.C. Just control what you control and win some games. We got Dave Fleming on the line here. Dave Fleming joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.70 Game, appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? I had a lot of fun yesterday. Shout out to Colleen out there in Lathrop and River Islands, taking us on a tour of that beautiful baseball field and, of course, the entire city there in Lathrop. Let's get Flem on here. Flem, good morning. No, you got an early start today. Big time start for Kyle Harrison. I do want to start with this, though. Not with Matt Chapman, not with Yaz, not with Ramos, not with Blake Snell. I'm going to start with you and Javi. I think, look, Kruk and Kipe are legends, and we know it. And look, everybody, they're going to have a day where they're going to have to step away. We get it. But I'm looking at you. I'm listening to you and Javi, Flem. You guys get better and better by the inning. And I'm liking Javi right now, man. He's getting better and better, Flem.
I think he's great. And I'm a little, you know, I don't want to say like I'm emotional about it, but this is his last game of the year today.
What?
So this is my last chance to do a game with him. But, you know, we don't have most of the games from here on out, which is a good thing for the Giants. But you know, we got mostly division games, so we'll have Dwayne and Mike even when we go on the road for a lot of the remaining road games, and it's a home heavy schedule. And so this is it for him. He's done a great job, I think.
Wow. Yes. You guys go to Baltimore and Kansas City. I'm surprised this is his last game.
Hunter's doing those, and we love having Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter's great, too.
So that's a good thing.
I love Javi, though, and his perspective from the bullpen. But just pass the message on. I think you guys have done a fabulous job this season.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, thanks.
Doubt. Well, you know, I'm watching the telecast yesterday, and they're talking about all the no-hitters that you've been a part of and that you've had an opportunity to be a part of the broadcast. And you were even kind of making fun of it, and you were talking about Blake Snell's. And I had noticed it, and I had actually texted you, and I told these guys earlier in the season, Blake Snell, with the whole PitchCom thing, he's on the hip. This is going back to the no-hitter. He's on the hip, you know, weeks prior when he first came back, and he's calling every pitch, and it was clunky, and the pitch clock, and it just, I don't know. The whole thing didn't look right, and it wasn't, like, in synergy. And then on Friday night, when he's actually allowing Patrick Bailey to call pitches, it just, everything seemed to click, and he had just great stuff. And he even argued with the umpire early in the game, and Bailey went out there and talked to him, and I thought it was a seminal moment. And Blake Snell, and he rebounded yesterday. I just think that Blake Snell has really found it right now, and him trusting Patrick Bailey is in part what I believe, as well as, you know, having command of all of his stuff, of why he's really been a lot better these last 6-7 starts.
Oh, big time. I agree with you. And I think, look, it's natural for that to take a little time. You know, you're with not just with a brand new team, you're with a brand new group of teammates, and especially that pitcher catcher relationship. I don't blame him for at first wanting to, like, hey, this is me. I got to take ownership of this. I got to steer the ship. I think once he built that trust with Patrick and realized this guy knows what he's doing, I think it frees you up as a pitcher when you have that trust. You don't have to worry so much about that part of the game. You can just kind of stay in the moment and execute your pitch. And it's not, it lightens the load just enough to where it makes it easier out there. Not easy, but easier. And those two right now are working really, really well together. I mean, I kind of feel for Patrick because obviously he is being leaned on real hard. Like, his workload is super heavy and his at-bats haven't been great. And, he says, I feel fine, I'm okay. But you watch the at-bats, it sure doesn't look that way. But how do you break him up? He's got to catch yesterday, right? He's got to. So today he gets a day off. I'll tell you guys what I said on that pregame you were watching yesterday. I've done nine of them, nine, including a perfect game. And Matt Cain's perfect game was amazing. And Tim Lincecum's no-hitters were amazing. I called a World Series no-hitter combined with the Astros the most dominant performance I think I've ever seen, Blake Snell on Friday. Oh, I think that was the most overwhelming I've ever seen a pitcher. There was not one good at bat. There was not one at bat the whole game against a pretty good team and a lineup that had its big guys in there. I don't think there was an at bat all game where I thought, oh yeah, this guy, he's seeing him well. He's not one. There was one, by definition, one hard hit ball the entire game, and that was a little kind of medium line drive to second base. It was amazing.
That fastball was rolling there at Great American Ballpark, and I didn't even realize there was no hitter going on until the ninth inning when people started tweeting. It's like, oh my gosh, get to a TV because he was so dominant. I was like, wow, Blake Snell's just mowing through these guys. In my head, I was just thinking, is Bowmel going to let him pitch the ninth? And obviously he does, and he gets the no hitter or whatnot, and he's dominant. His numbers show it. We'll look at the offense, though, because we've been harping on the offense. Who can get hot in this lineup? Who can get hot? And I know there's still five back in the loss column of the Atlanta Braves, and they got a big time series with them at Oracle Park next week. But boy, Chapman, Yaz, Ramos, they're starting to get going here to carry this lineup. And let's start with Matt Chapman, who, look, he's got an option to opt out or whatnot. I want this guy to remain a Giant for a long, long time, man. He's done it at both ends. Defense, glove, third base, throwing guys out, and then, of course, with his bat. He's on fire right now, Flem.
I think they want him to be here. I think he wants to be here. I think that, you never say we know enough about all this to not make any real predictions, but I think they're going to figure out a way to keep Matt around. He's been their best player all year. He's having a fantastic year. Just don't let the batting average fool you. Everything else that he does out there is elite, and he should be here for a long time. I sure hope so. I have loved watching him play, and he plays every single day, and he hustles every single play. Last night, that was a big play in the game. He beats out that infield hit because he is busting it. We showed a great replay. The second he leaves the batter's box, it is full throttle, and he beat it by a fraction of a second, and that got the Giants a run. And then they got another one after that. So Chapman's just a leader by example. The power's been great. What if they hit 15 home runs on this road trip? Mm-hmm. Seven games, 15 home runs. Now, that's what you're supposed to do. You come to the hotter weather, these ballparks where the ball flies. That's what you're supposed to do, but that's why they're 4-2 on the trip so far. And that's they need to keep that up. And to your point about the schedule, they have a lot of ground to make up. Yep. I know the odds don't look great when you look at the standings and as well as the Padres and Diamondbacks especially have been playing, but you get four head-to-head against the Braves. Mm-hmm. You get six head-to-head each against the Diamondbacks and the Padres. You get those three games at home against the Cardinals at the very end of the year. You have your shot. And that's why games like today, I'll make the case today's the biggest game of the year. Huh. Like, you're trying to go back home. You got the Tigers in this weekend. Tigers are had a nice year.
Scrappy.
But, they're scrappy, but they traded away a couple of their guys at the deadline. Scooble went last night, so I think that means the Giants will miss him, which is a huge break over the weekend. If you can get home above 500 with a lot of momentum, you get a chance to set up Monday. I mean, those four games against the Braves might be the biggest games of the whole year, not just in the moment, but when we look back on it
I love this.
At the end of the year. So that's why I feel like today, it's not like if you lose today, the season's over, but I do feel like today is a massive game for this team.
I'm kind of with you here, Flynn. The dog days of August, they're all massive. This is what we want as Giants fans. Real quick, Shasky, Matt Chapman, his last 14 games, batting .377. Okay. He's 20-53. 11 extra base hits, 13 RBIs, 6 home runs. He's slugging like crazy. The OPS is on off the charts. So his last, and in that play Sunday that we talked about on Monday, to save the game there, up 3-2 in Cincinnati in the bottom of the sixth inning, Chapman's having a good year.
And it's a play at third base. The only other person I've seen make is Dave's son. I knew you'd get a laugh there. Hey, Dave, I'm looking at Elliot Ramos, and, you know, he had the thumb injury, and you're just worried about him, right? Like, hey, he had a monster couple of months. He goes to the All-Star game. You know, it's a lot of workload. He sees the whole league. They've had months on him. They can adjust. I think this series has, like, boom, he's back. Like, he feels good. He's driving that ball. That ball he crushed the other day to right center was just absolutely smoked. He's been awesome. He's batting .432 against lefties. This guy balanced. Splits look good on the road and at home, lefties and righties. Like, he's balanced all around. I think he's just been an absolute monster revelation. And to think we maybe wouldn't even have got a look at him if Jung-Hoo Lee doesn't get hurt.
It's the only silver lining to the Jung-Hoo Lee injury. I hope ultimately we would have, because I hope, you know, the talent has shined through now, and I hope that Elliot would have forced his way up here no matter what. But you're right. I mean, it's kind of scary to think, like, in a different scenario. I mean, heck, what was it, a couple of years ago, the Giants exposed him. Anybody could have taken him, and they didn't. You know, it's been a blessing to have him here, and he is not out of the woods with that injury. It's still hurting him, but he talked about it last night after the game. Like, he's managed to convince himself that I know it's going to hurt a little, but I'm not going to hurt it more, so I can still swing hard. I mean, there were 4 or 5 games there where he just wasn't him, and I was worried about it, because that's an injury that takes some time to heal up, and he's not going to get that time. They don't have that time. They need him in there every single day. I'm glad he's...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sort of fighting his way through that. That's a tough young man. I love the kid. He's positive. He's energetic. He's a great teammate. He cheers hard for everybody. down there. He's bouncing around. He's got some Pablo to him. Like, you go in the clubhouse before the game, and Elliott's just, like, he's loud. He's checking in with everybody, sort of bouncing from table to table in the food room. you know, like, to me, that's, especially, like, today. I was in there a few minutes ago, and it's a noon local start. Like, this is a tough go for the Giants here. You got a guy like that perking everybody up, waking everybody up. I think they'll be ready to go first pitch.
Is that your Willie Mack Award winner for 2024? Because I believe that I guess you could go Chapman too, but I like this Ramos kid as this Willie Mack Award winner. Kind of coming out of nowhere, stuck in the minors, and then boom, he's your all-star.
You could make a great case for either of them. I mean, for me, Chapman from day one, game one, has posted every single day.
Yeah.
That's leadership by example. That's, to me, the spirit of the Willie Mack Award, and playing hard every single day, working before the game every single day. But I would not argue with you if you're going Elliott, because both those guys deserve it.
All right, we've gone this long. We haven't brought up the guy that I didn't see this coming. And I know that people have been high on him as like a super utility guy. This Tyler Fitzgerald month that his guys had, it's 150 at-bats essentially this year, 12 homers. He's been absolutely on fire. And to me, it's like he lays off the junk away, and anything up in the zone, he's just crushing it. I mean, just absolutely hitting lasers. He's playing really good defensively at shortstop. I just didn't see this coming. This Tyler Fitzgerald situation has just been, it's been a revelation.
Yeah, I will say this, because I hadn't, you know, we were getting little bits and pieces of Tyler, and in the spring training games, we'd see him over the last few years. But I will say this, a lot of, not just one or two, a lot of Giants coaches over the last couple years have said to me and said to us, like, the kid that I really like is Tyler Fitzgerald. Like, I heard that from more than just one person. And, you know, for me, our looks at him were so brief. It's not like I disagreed, but I was always like, huh, okay, well, I'll file that away. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about, just because we just didn't have a lot of exposure to him. And I think it's what stood out to those guys is that's big league athletic ability. And, you know, this game, what I love about baseball is all shapes, all sizes, all body types, all styles, soft tossing lefty, flame throwing righty, power hitter, Jose Altuve, Judge, all that. That's great about baseball, but this is still high level professional sports, and the physical tools, the body, the athletic ability still carries the day in most cases. And that's what Tyler has. Like, he's got fast twitch, super athletic, bat speed, power, and it's coming together for him. He's another one of these. You know, we've talked about it with Brett Wisely, and Brett's struggling again with it right now, but Tyler is a guy who takes things hard. Like, he's got the baseball demeanor of a guy who is grinding out every day, and I think finally now, he's comfortable in his job, his position. I'm a big leaguer. I belong here. And if that lets the athletic talent come out, I love watching him every day. He's been awesome.
Nah, and that double play to end the game yesterday after the mound meeting, pitching mound visit with Camilo Duvall yesterday, the ninth inning here. Look, we could talk about Yaz.
I don't want to interrupt you, Vontae, but like that, Cal Ripken used to say that, right? Like, how do you judge a big league shortstop? When you absolutely need it, can you turn the double play?
Yep.
Can you, when you have to have it, when the game's on the line, can you get it done?
Yep.
And that wasn't just a piece of cake last night, the way they turned that. And Tyler was calm and comfortable and looked ready for the moment. Mm-hmm. Remember early this year, what was his first start? I can't remember if Webb was on the mound or whatever. His first start of the year, and he boots a ground ball, like almost his first chance of the year. And I think you're seeing the growth now. Yep. Last night, in the biggest moment, maybe the whole season, you could argue the ninth inning last night, and he handled it flawlessly.
I'm with you there. It was smooth, one pitch. And then, because if they lose that game yesterday, Flem, I probably would have came in here this morning and said, you know what, that may be the season. That may have been the death knell for the season with the way Arizona's playing, as you mentioned, sweeping the Guardians yesterday, and the Padres were red hot. Dodgers are scuffling there. So that was a big-time play by them. Yaz is being a consummate professional. We could talk about him all day long, but I know you got to run here because we got an early game. I do want to get your thoughts, because you call a lot of college football, and I'm not – 100% sure if you've ever called a Brandon Ayuk game at Arizona State, but I want to get your thoughts on Brandon Ayuk. You're a big-time Niner fan, just like us. What do you make of the situation, man? It's getting messier and messier, and we don't want to see Ayuk leave. I'm sure the Niners don't, but boy, how did we get to this point, Flem?
Yeah, I did call a bunch of his games in college, and I think while Herm was still the head coach, yep, at ASU, and Herm just raved about the guy. Like, you know, you want to know who our best player is? I'll tell you who our best player is. And, you know, you watch him play in college, you're so dependent on everybody around you. It happens in the NFL, too, but I don't know if I expected him to be this great at the NFL level. He's great. Like, that is not just a good player. He's one of the 10 best receivers in the league, I think. I do. And if you want to win the Super Bowl, you want that guy on your side. I don't know. I'm not a cap expert. I don't know about any of that stuff. I know nothing about that. All I know is the minute they give him away, I don't care what you get back, you're a worse team. And when you get championship aspirations and you're taking steps backwards, that sucks. So yeah. I hope they figure it out. I do, because I really do believe he's one of the 10 best players at his position in the league, and I think he's one of the 5 best players on the Niners roster.
Wow, wow, wow. That's strong words right there. We'll have Herm on in about 20 minutes to talk about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not this relationship is salvageable. But a big game and a big start for Kyle Harrison. Bounce back after the start in Cincinnati. He's got to get this one, Flem. Kyle Harrison on the mound today against the Nationals.
The velo was down last start. I don't want to read too much into it, but I'm a little worried about both youngsters. They're in uncharted territory. It's the end of the year. I didn't love getting rid of Alex Cobb just to have him in the back pocket. I don't know. Maybe I'm too worried.
I don't want to say you're too worried, because you should be. It should be a concern. But I saw Kyle walk out of here last night with like a case of water. And I think he's like both those kids. I know they, you know, Kyle grew up in the East Bay. It gets hot in the summertime. Hayden grew up in Illinois. But once you get acclimated and are in San Francisco and you're a young guy, you come here, all it takes is one bad inning and your energy is sapped. Mm. Like, and you're seeing the jerseys, these freaking jerseys that show every drip of sweat.
Not to cut you off, Flint, but it feels like the Giants always play the Nats in the summer. One year they won the World Series, one of the years. Yeah. I was out there for the 8 o'clock July 4th start on the West Coast, and it was about 100% humidity. I was like, this is misery.
Lincecum was
maybe
terrible.
Maybe the worst start of Bumgarner's career.
Yeah.
Bumgarner just, that's Madison Bumgarner, your ultimate tough guy horse. He melted out here. So I think it's a little cooler today. It's overcast. Hydrate like heck and hope that doesn't happen, because I think that's been the big issue these last couple starts for those young guys. And I think when we get back home, you're going to see the performance back like you expect. I think they've struggled with that.
I one last thing. This is just a quick aside. Love the home run hat from the Nats. I love that top hat.
That's pretty good.
And they made a great trade with the Juan Soto deal. I mean, all their best players came from that. And, like, I love Abrams and I love Wood. Like, I like their little roster. They made a really nice move with that deal.
There's no such thing as a good trade when you trade away Juan Soto. That does not, like, it's. I think it's impossible when you trade a guy at that level and you say, we don't want him on our team. That I can't justify that, but they probably made the best of that kind of deal maybe in the history of baseball with those guys. Now, Gore, Abrams, I think is still, like, are those guys going to be stars? But I think that James Wood kid has a chance to be a big-time player. So I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I still can't believe they had Bryce Harper and Juan Soto as 24-year-olds and let them both go.
It's insane.
Not to mention Trey Turner.
And Trey Turner, like, all of them wanted to stay. All of them loved being here. Like, I don't know how you allow that to happen, but in the context of, okay, we just decided they weren't staying, we weren't going to sign them, they did real well with that trade. Because you're right, this team they find a little more pitching. This team's plucky. Yeah. Like, they got a chance.
No doubt about that. Nationals, a big game for Kyle Harrison today. Giants trying to win the series before they get back home. Tell Javi we said hi. I can't believe it's the last call. You guys are really good in that booth together. Flint, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week, brother.
And just one last thing. He's going to be he's coming home with us to be there for the reunion on Saturday, the 2014 team reunion. And I'm not going to spoil it. They don't want me to talk about everybody who's coming, but it's a great list. Like, almost everybody from those teams is going to be there. when I saw the list yesterday, it's awesome. So I think Saturday is going to be so cool. You're going to see some guys you haven't seen in a long time out there, and Giants fans are going to enjoy that.
Well, we know Jake Peavy's going to be there because his performance Saturday for the Giants community fun. Yeah, we'll have Jake Peavy on at 9:20. Wow. Jake Peavy's in town. Watch out,
Jeremy
now.
Jeremy Renner?
I'm not spoiling it. It's a long list, though.
I love it.
It'll be a lot of fun, man. See have a good Dave. Call today, Dave.
See you guys. Thanks.
Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game.
So they are showcasing this like leather jacket, this Letterman varsity jacket.
And this is what I would patch. Say.
What?
With the World Series patch?
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool.
This is what I would say to every team out there. You can't make enough of those coats.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why we don't make more of them. I understand like they're not great in the rain, in the elements and stuff, but I never like getting the singular championship like jacket. Like sweatshirt's one thing, the jacket. Like
you want
I want
all
it to
the
be
patches.
More.
What? You want like 2014, 2010, 2014.
Well, even that, like they get outdated because like if your team wins a championship, then it's, you know.
Just buy a new patch and put it on. That's what some people do.
Some people do.
Oh, man, I got to get a whole new championship patch for my championship jacket. That's so rough.
Well, I mean, we know you have an entire closet of Giants gear, so that's different. But I would say.
No, you're not talking. I know you're not talking.
I mean, I got a lot of coats.
I know you're not talking about the Giants gear.
I got a lot of coats.
Both you guys.
It
knows you take a shot to
hey,
London.
I'll wear, I admit it that I have it all in my closet.
I know. I actually got you a Giants Letterman coat for Christmas a couple years ago.
I know. I still wear it.
I know. I love that
it's
coat.
It's a great jacket.
You know, I'm just well-rounded.
I knew you'd love it. But I'm watching the Nats celebrate with these home runs, and they put on this top hat that's a red, white, and blue.
I saw that.
It's a great look.
Thinking about that, though, Flip's right. They had Bryce Harper, Soto. They didn't even win the World Series with Bryce Harper.
Rendon.
They went out on that team with Trey Turner and Soto.
Rendon.
I mean, Anthony Rendon, who's, by the way, back in the Angels lineup. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He'll be there for 4 minutes.
Really quick, it was while Flynn brought that up, I pulled up the 2018 Nats roster.
Give it to me.
They had
Scherzer?
Their catchers, Matt Wieters, Ryan Zimmerman, Trey Turner at short, Anthony Rendon at third, a 19-year-old rookie Juan Soto in left, Bryce Harper in right. The rotation had Max Scherzer, Tanner Roark, Gio Gonzalez, Steven Strasburg, Eric Fetty, and Sean Doolittle was their closer.
Doolittle!
That team went 82-80 that year.
That's crazy.
And then Harper went to Philly, and they won the World Series.
And they won the World Series.
With a 19-year-old.
Wow. Wow. They were always in a playoff, though, with those teams.
I mean, we played that.
They were always in a playoff. I remember when St. Louis... Or no, when the Giants did play them, I'm thinking about when the Giants played the Cardinals in the NLCS and the Nationals didn't pitch Strasburg. Remember, they shut them down. And the Cardinals rallied in that game five, and the Giants were on the tarmac waiting. Do we go to St. Louis? Do we go to D.C.? And I remember I was praying. I was like, the Nationals got the Giants' number. That would have been a bloodbath. I always thought that.
Everyone goes to the 18-inning home run by Brandon Belt. To me, it was Matt Williams taking the ball out of his starter's hands and giving it to the Stanford closer who wasn't as good.
And that was silly. That was silly. Dave Martinez.
Was it Pablo scoring on a buster hit down the line?
Did Pablo
that tied
score?
The game. It was 1-0.
Who got thrown out, though? Who got thrown out? Because somebody tried to score on that play. I felt like
was it Buster? I remember Buster got thrown out like a couple times.
Did Buster score and Pablo get thrown out?
Yeah, it was one or the other.
Yeah.
One hit the other in. I forget what it was. And then Yasmero Petit. That's the moment for me. Yasmero Petit was amazing in that game.
Nah, he was the man. He was the man.
Hunter Strickland is still bitter over that series.
I mean, that was a hell of a series. Bumgarner actually lost in that series to Game 3. They actually got to him in Game 3, Madison Bumgarner there. But the Giants did win that series. Classic national teams, though. They end up winning the World Series after going 82-80. Remember when they were 93-69? I believe that year they started off very, very slow. And if I'm not mistaken, they were like 10, 15 games under 500 at
the year
one
they
point.
Won, yeah, they went. They started 19-31.
There you
and
go.
Then came back, got the wild card, and then won it all. And then, yeah, it was Drew Storen gave up the double
Drew
to Pablo.
Drew Storen, Stanford
Panic
closer.
Scores, Posey thrown out at home.
Posey thrown out at home. Yep, okay. Pablo scored because he was coming around the base. Like, big old Pablo.
Poor Matt
what
Williams.
A game that was.
Dealing that game.
What a game that was.
Poor Matt Williams.
What a game that was, man.
I don't know if you know this, but... as we're talking about historic comebacks, 45 games left in the season, and they're only 43 out. The Chicago White Sox. I just want to be all over this story. The Chicago White Sox right now. I don't know if you know this, Bonte. They're not just bad; they're historically bad. I've been kind of covering this. They're 28-89. I'll say that again. They're 28-89. Can you name the organization that has for it has to be 160 games in the modern era. Who has the worst record ever? What organization owns that title?
Worst record ever, 19. Damn, I just read about it the other day.
We're not going back to the 1800s. I'm just going to go modern
era.
Modern.
Mets, 62?
Yes. Can you name one player on the 62 Mets? This is always one of my favorites.
Was Tom Seaver on that team? Was he on that team yet?
I do not see him on this list.
Was Nolan Ryan probably wasn't on that team?
That was later. I think he was 67, 68. Yeah. He was a reliever.
Boy, I can't name one player on that team.
Roger Craig. Roger Craig,
Hum Baby, the former manager.
Whenever you want to win some trivia,
see, I forgot he
was 10-24 on the 62 Mets.
I forgot he was on that team. I didn't even realize that because I always remember Hum Baby as a Brooklyn Dodger.
Yeah, well, he was on that team, and he had 24 losses, 13 complete games though.
Damn.
So right now, the 62 Mets, they went 41-20-1. And the manager was Casey Stengel. Look up Casey Stengel's photo, and you tell me if that doesn't look ridiculous.
So 41 wins. The White Sox would need 13 wins. So you said 41 wins, right, for the Mets?
40
wins.
They lost 120, and they tied one game. I don't know why we had ties back then, but we did.
So I'm looking at the White Sox schedule the rest of the way. They have two against
this history.
So they have the series against the Cubs coming up.
The Giants get them.
They get two games against the Cubs. They get three games against the Yankees.
Oof.
They get three at Houston.
Oof.
Three here in San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
A four game set against the Tigers at home. Three against Texas at home. That's a big 10 game home stand for them. Four against the Tigers, three against Texas, three against the Mets. Then they get three at Baltimore, three at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. They come back home and play the Guardians. Then they get three against the Yankees the weekend of my birthday, September 13th, 14th, 15th. Then they get the White Sox for three, Padres for three, then the Angels and Tigers. So they need 41 wins, right?
Yes.
I think they went 42. I think they got 14 wins on the schedule.
Okay. Did you see what they?
Well,
what they
I don't
ended
know. 14
up
wins. Damn. They just fired the manager.
I was just you buried the lead.
Yeah, sorry.
Pedro Grifol.
So they're gonna rally behind the interim guy.
They haven't won consecutive games since June 27th. They haven't won two in a row.
You know what we need to do? We need to bury a baseball. Like the what was the guy?
Tony Sperano with the Raiders.
Rest in peace. Yeah. But you need to bury a baseball.
He's the first guy who ran a Wildcat in the NFL.
That's right.
Ronnie Brown.
Ricky Williams.
He ran a Wildcat at Foxborough and had Belichick throwing his headset.
Gruden was convinced it was the new way.
Yeah. This Wildcat. This Wildcat. I'm so enamored with this Wildcat.
It was done. I was channel flipping yet.
Charlie Montoyo is going to be the White Sox interim manager. So you know the White Sox will be playing very hard for his job.
All right, so what you think they're going to get it?
Again?
I think they're not going to get it.
Huh?
I think they're not going to get it. I think we're looking at the worst team ever.
Robert is still playing. I like Luis Robert. Andrew Vaughn.
They need to get Luis Robert out of there.
Benintendi
is hot. I mean, what do they do?
That's a sentence.
What do they do?
I got to look up Benintendi's numbers. Pause. He's hot. I got to give you a break.
Big pause.
He's batting 210.
Crochet's on the mound today. He's on the mound.
What did my guy say after that A's win? Do it for the South Side.
South Side stand up.
So I do think, you know what? I think they get one against the Cubs at home. I do think that. They get swept by the Yankees. I think they get one in San Francisco. Watch the Giants lose once to the White Sox. Watch they lose once to the White Sox. They'll get one against the Tigers. That's three. They might get two against the Tigers. That's four games. Rangers, Mets, Monte, Orioles.
It's yes or no. What are you doing? I'll burrito bet you breakfast burritos for the crew. Well, they're not going to get it.
Well, you already owe me one because you said Team USA is going to lose a game.
Neither last 12 are against the Angels and Tigers. So, I mean,
they're not going to lose to Serbia today.
Did Team USA get the gold? And basketball's over?
They will Saturday against Germany, probably, or France.
Well, let's see.
honestly, Canada getting knocked out with that's the team that probably would have beaten the
USA. Dylan Brooks coming up small. Jamal Murray, what happened to him off the bench?
They really missed Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins is going to have a fire under him to prove Steve Kerr wrong that they left him off at Team Canada.
Andrew Wiggins revenge tour?
You speaking about Blake? No, I'm not even joking here. I bought stock on Blake Snell when nobody wanted that stock. Stock looks great. It's exploded like Bitcoin.
Andrew Wiggins the next Blake Snell?
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, thanks, Fitz.
What do you average, 13 points a game? Hey, Fitz is with me on this one. He will average at least 17 points a game next season, Andrew Wiggins.
Thank God. Thank God.
You watch. You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? I'll stand on this. Andrew Wiggins will score at least 18 points per game next season.
Here, I want you to stand on
5 points per game.
Will
increase.
He be on the Warriors June 1st?
I just hope he's not on the injury report.
Next June 1st?
Yes.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Uh-oh. Team USA, big showdown with Serbia and Nikola Jokic.
Oh, my God.
Joel Embiid dealing with an ankle injury. Embiid's head out the second half. Team USA's win over Brazil with ankle discomfort.
Of course.
Despite being questionable for today's game, the expectation is that Embiid will be in the lineup to take on Jokic later today.
Addition by subtraction. Don't play.
Hey, you got Anthony Davis. You got Bam Adebayo. We got to get Steph Curry rolling. He's struggling right now. But you got enough. Devin Booker's playing very good basketball. LeBron James, Anthony Edwards. You got KD. Team USA should be able to handle their business. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking. No compromises. We play to win the game. Or do we play to win the contract? Well, Herm Edwards is going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk a little about Brandon Ayuk and what the heck is going on with him and whether or not they can salvage this relationship. The head coach, former head coach, the New York Jets, Kansas City Chiefs, and of course, Arizona State Sun Devils. Herm Edwards will join us on the other side here on The Roast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.